Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. This is another live Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And lots of great people already in the chat room. I see Red Red Shoes. Films About Ghosts is there. Karen is there. It's a little late. Hang in there, Karen. Liz is there. And let's see. Torty Prism is there. Hi. And let's see. The rest of the great folks are there. It's kind of hard to see everyone, but welcome. Hello.
Hey, everybody.
And I'll see your name. Marlene is there. Hello.
Hey.
And I'll see your name flip by, and I'll say hi, I promise. So welcome to another live show.
Yes.
I'm still in the land of the living, so I may cough here and there, so
yeah.
Sorry about that. Sarah's here. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
That was such a great interview. I want to thank you again for that. And I think some people knew about fan fiction,
yes. But
I think a lot of people did not. So I really appreciate your time doing that. So that's really great.
Yes, it is.
So
who are you?
Oh, my name is Jeff Roni. I'm a Virgo. I like long walks on the beach.
No, you don't.
I was born in San Bernardino, and I escaped. I mean, I moved.
You escaped.
To Orange County, and met a wonderful lady named Colleen, and we got married.
Yep.
And my life has never been the same since. And it's a good way.
I was going to say, you're getting awfully sappy there, mister.
Well, my wife is over to my right,
yes. And
she is, wait for it, she's knitting.
Yes, I am.
And so, anyway.
And what am I knitting? Do you know what I'm knitting?
I have no idea. You mentioned, well, this isn't the green yarn, so this isn't another
washcloth. This is a new project I started. This is Emma's baby blanket.
Oh, my. Emma's baby blanket.
Yep.
So, I do... I mentioned to you all before.
What did you mention?
That you never know who's listening to this show.
That is true.
So I want to say hello to the cast and the crew of the best show on TV, Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
And I want to say we thank you guys and ladies for the great work that you do.
Yes.
And we welcome you here. You are always welcome here. You're welcome to call in a voicemail if you like.
Yep.
You are welcome here. This is a show for you to communicate to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for all your hard work.
Yes.
So, you know, hey, maybe Caitlin's listening tonight. Who knows? But
that is true. You never know.
That's really great that you're doing the blanket. I understand that there's a few challenges in that, but...
Well...
We'll get over it.
Yeah. The blanket itself is not really like, it's not like super complex.
I have to tell you.
What?
The you're not using normal knitting needles there.
I'm using...
That looks very...
I'm using circulars.
Can you kind of explain what you're doing there?
I'm using circulars. They're little bamboo circulars, and they're
two sticks with a plastic
tube
connecting the two.
Yes. Yes. That is.
Now, this is a video, so I'm not trying to lead you down the primrose path. I'm telling you, I'm looking, and this is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and that's because these are circular. Okay. So you can knit seamless.
Okay. We're losing all the non-knitters. But anyway, no, I at least wanted to cover that. So
yeah. Okay. So I'm just right now I'm casting on. So this is just the tedious part right now. And I have 96 stitches to cast. So
okay.
At some point I'll have to count. I'll have to stop and count what I'm doing. But right now I'm just kind of going to town.
So Emma's baby blanket is beginning. I'm very proud of you. And so
yeah.
Fantastic.
And yes, I will post pictures when it's done.
Uh-oh, Film's About Ghost is leaving. Sorry.
Bye.
Take care. Thanks for dropping by. Hopefully it wasn't me. Anyway, so we're gonna dive in, and I did kind of want to talk about a couple of things before we go into the awesome emails.
Oh yeah, and by the way, we have some people listening who are not on the chat room.
Okay, all right. So,
like for example, Helga.
Okay. Hi,
Max.
Helga.
And
hi,
EJ.
Max. Hi, EJ.
And Megan and Tim.
Hi, Megan and Tim. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. And so I know that Shannon is soon, or she is in Los Angeles right now. I know she drove down.
Yeah, she's at her cousin's house now.
So she had some sad news about folks back at home. There was a fire. And but everybody was okay. So anyway, glad about that, mm-hmm. and glad she made it down here safe. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's it is cool, all the different things that are going on. But I did want to mention and plead. It's just we never really have talked about this, but time zones.
Yes,
time zones. You know, this is a shiny, happy podcast,
mm-hmm.
but I just want to remind folks that some people are really lucky, and we're glad they're lucky,
mm-hmm.
to watch the show early.
Yes.
Now, we're in California. Now, this doesn't mean that we're in the center of the universe.
No.
But just let me explain. We see Once Upon a Time at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Right.
So we're kind of the last shelf of the...
Oh, we're not even the last, actually.
Okay.
But
you understand what I'm saying.
Well, because there are people in Hawaii who see it 2 to 3 hours after us, depending on the daylight savings or not.
So there are folks that get to see Once Upon a Time
4 hours before
4 hours earlier.
Right.
Now, so just keep in mind that the time zones are different. So what can happen is some people can think, because they're on Twitter...
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else is maybe watching in an earlier time zone, and they are kind of thinking that we're going to tweet back and forth and kind of talk to each other and comment about the show and reveal spoilers. You know, don't forget that there's a whole group of people that are also following you because they love Once Upon a Time. And, you know, we're reading those tweets, too. So
yes, that is true.
Keep that in mind. I mean, if you told somebody to keep a secret and you found out that they were telling somebody else, you wouldn't like that too much. So let's try and think about Twitter as kind of a shared space. So don't forget that there's some of us that are really wanting to see it. I mean,
and we want to be surprised.
If we could get binoculars.
It's not to say we're not saying you can't get on Twitter and tweet. We're just saying be careful what you tweet.
Yeah.
Because what you think is not a spoiler is very likely a spoiler.
Yeah.
When you start talking about anything a specific character says or does or a specific character that's in the episode that maybe we don't know about.
Yeah.
And I know people think, well, but it's in the sneak previews. Again, those are spoilers that a lot of us don't like to...
Well, but okay, but I've said from the beginning that those sneak peeks are open. Okay, maybe not to you, but they're released by ABC. We've talked about it.
No, I know. I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is some of us don't want to see or hear about those either.
Well,
so frankly, yeah. any details from those, that ruins it for us as well.
Well, you should have mentioned that when we, because we talked about it.
We did. And that's right. what I'm saying. I am just telling you, for me personally, if that's the case, then I need to be careful. What either I have to stop going on Twitter.
Well,
okay. Or on specific days when sneak peeks come out, I just can't look at Twitter.
I post the links, you know.
Right. And that's fine. If you want to post a link, that's okay. I'm just saying, I just want to make sure that folks know, just and I know for a fact I'm not the only one.
Okay.
That if
is
you
Dr.
post
Dr. Phil out there, can he call?
No.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, you know, when you post spoilers.
All right. I got it.
People don't like that. Because some people like to be surprised.
So, you know, and we're kind of a rare situation. I know there's a lot of websites that, you know, talk about spoilers all the time. I know there's fan sites that talk about spoilers. So, you know, we're kind of the the Amish podcast that doesn't talk about spoilers at all. So, anyway, but that's what we've set up. So, pretty please remember time zones. Pretty please. Thank you. So, tomorrow is going to be a busy day here. Oh,
yeah,
boy. Busy, busy day.
That just doesn't even begin to describe what it really is, but yeah.
So, we have the Paley Center event, and it's going to be the Once Upon a Time cast, and it's going to be incredible, be cool, and we're going to go down to Beverly Hills.
Yes, we are.
I always say the Beverly Hillbillies are invading Beverly Hills. So we're going down there.
The Hillbillies are invading
That's
Beverly
right.
Hills.
That is correct. We're San Bernardino people are coming down. So
I'm not a San Bernardino. I'm not San Bernardino.
Yeah.
But I am Kansas.
Hi, Shannon. Shannon's in the chat room. Thanks so much for dropping by. We really, really appreciate it. And so, yeah, that's going to be cool. I don't really know what to expect. You know, some people have asked, well, what's going to be like? And I'm like, I've never been to one, so I understand they're really cool. I think we watched a live Lost Paley
Center.
We
did.
In a theater.
It wasn't Paley, though. It was in New York.
So, okay. And then the new episodes tomorrow night. So we're all primed for that. And I do understand there's going to be a dwarf or two in that episode, so it's going to be really cool.
Yes.
Team 7, go, go, go.
Yes. And we will be at the Paley Center tomorrow.
Yep.
And we will be doing some recaps after that, right?
Well, I'm going to try something. Well, so Marlene is asking who's going to be there. Well, I think Jennifer Morrison, Jennifer Goodwin.
Josh Dallas, Robert Carlyle.
Right.
Adam and Eddie, I think, are supposed to be
Raphael
there.
Raphael Sparge is going to be there.
Yeah.
Jared, maybe?
Maybe. I don't remember seeing Jared's name on there, but that doesn't mean anything.
So.
It is the primary. Megan. Megan will be there.
Yep.
And
Adam and
Eddie.
And so, yeah, we need to get our tickets for WonderCon, too.
Yes, we do.
It's going to be a local, cool thing in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, it's going to be great. And what we're going to try is we're going to do some audio boos. Now, that sounds bad. It's audio B-O-O. And all it is a short recorded audio. Like
peekaboo.
Yeah, you know, it's like a short podcast, right? Inside of 5 minutes.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we're going to record it on our iPhone. And if I have a good enough connection, it will post to Twitter.
Pretty
so if you're following the show on Twitter, then you can get to listen to our little audio bits.
Right. Now, so, here's the other thing. I would also recommend that folks, if you haven't done so already, Google where the URL will be for they're streaming this event live.
Right.
So just because you can't be here in person, you can watch it live, just like we will. You're just going to be on your computer or your phone or wherever you watch the internet. That's all.
So I could have attended in my jammies.
You could have, but I am telling you right now, I really wanted to go.
Okay. Put on my Chewbacca slippers and all right. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we will be there. We will be attending. And, you know, who knows? I may round a corner, bump into Josh Dallas. And, you know, that mm-hmm. would be an amazing thing. And
I'll it would.
Trying to get my iPhone ready and recording. Anyway, so trying to get some kind of interview. But that's what we plan on doing tomorrow. So we'll be giving you kind of little tidbits here and there. And then we'll be coming home to see the new episode and share our first thoughts with you. So that's going to be really, really cool. Big day, big day.
Very much so.
So
today was big too, but anyway.
Yeah, yep. But I think that was it, wasn't it? Let's talk about the meetup. So a few people have mentioned that they would, they were planning to attend. It's going to be September 15th and 16th at Disneyland in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
The Anaheim one.
Because that's
I don't want people to go to Florida.
Well, because that's not Disneyland. That's Walt Disney World. Very big difference.
But honey, some people.
I know.
Okay.
But I want to make
the
sure.
Disney kind of. Right. So anyhow, the 15th and 16th of September, Disneyland, we're going to be there hanging out.
Yep.
And, you know, we are going to have some type of activities planned, but it's going to be more of kind of a loosely planned hangout. We're going to be hanging out, talking, having some lunch and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be a cool thing to just hang out. And just kind of see what we can see. I'll have some things planned, but I just didn't want to kind of over plan it.
It's more of hanging out.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. So, because I think Disneyland is fun with no plan. So
it is. And we can share information that we have because we have some inside information.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we can definitely share some inside information with folks if they really would like to know that.
Yep. And for sure, I did want to say that the one thing is there's been a lot of really bad weather in the South. And so, you know, yes. Our hearts and our prayers are with the folks that are from that area. You know, take care of yourself, you know. And it's wild, man. This weather is just crazy.
Yes.
So.
And as I was commenting to a couple folks who are listeners that do live in those areas. I actually grew up in the Midwest and I moved here when I was 9, almost 10. And I do very distinctly remember tornadoes and how they can be very scary. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been around that for a while, but I still remember it. And I do feel for the folks that are having to deal with it.
Yeah. So. You know, that's what's really neat about the internet and the iPhones and all that is, you know, the world gets smaller and you do get information about certain things. So, you know, we definitely wanted to bring that up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very, very sad and devastating. So, you know, our hearts and our prayers are with the folks that are back there. And
so far, everybody that we know is safe.
Good.
And hasn't been that's infected good. By it. At least as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very happy about that.
So anyhow, we will move on to our voicemails.
Okay. Sorry, keep hitting the...
So first one here is from Lisa. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
It's kind of a longie, so I will try my best to have my best reading voice. Dear Jeff and Colleen, I recently discovered your OUAT site and have listened to a few of your podcasts. I must admit that as an OUAT viewer, I don't analyze the show as much as many of the fans are doing. And actually, you're not alone, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, you know, watches it at a certain level and they sure. find certain things. And, you know, we overanalyze because we used to do that with Lost. And so we're we're corrupted. Lost. So she says, I enjoy it more as pure entertainment, but still appreciate all the dialogue about the show. Some comments made regarding the last episode, What Happened to Frederick, have especially piqued my interest. As a diehard Snow, Mary Margaret, and Charming David fan, I have to say that Although I wasn't happy with the way David wimped out when it came to breaking things off with Catherine, I felt as if your reaction to David has been rather harsh. In my opinion, I think we have to keep a few things in mind before we judge poor David. First, the guy has been in a coma for 28 years and probably has no idea why he's even married to Catherine or why he's so impossibly drawn to marry Margaret. The word selfish was used to describe his actions, but I don't believe he was motivated out of selfishness at all. Selfish is Regina, who wants to keep David and Catherine together for the sole purpose of making Snow marry Margaret miserable. I think David is simply a nice, albeit confused guy who doesn't want to hurt anyone, and as Mary Margaret said, ended up hurting everyone. It brought me back to something Mary Margaret said to Emma in Snow Falls when Emma, on Henry's behalf, asked Mary Margaret to read to John Doe. The gist of it was that they could lead Henry to the truth without hurting him. I do feel that David should have been honest with Catherine, but I also believe that, right or wrong, what he was trying to do was lead her to the truth without hurting her. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
I mean, it is definitely a perspective we have not heard so far, because I think a lot of people are mad at him, because on a surface level, it was pretty rotten. But on the other hand, now listening to this, I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, I guess he, you know, she's got a point that, you know, he was a little confused, and I still am really unhappy with the way he handled things. I think it was poorly done. But I guess if you look at it from perspective of he's been in a coma for all these years, you know,
yep.
I guess that, you know, makes a little more sense.
Mm-hmm. So as a longtime soap fan, I know that one of legendary soap opera creator and writer Agnes Nixon's favorite themes was to have her characters doing the wrong thing for the right reason. And I think we have something of that in David's actions here.
Mm-hmm.
I also can't help but think back to Jennifer Goodwin's remarks back in the early promos for the show. She talked about the curse being that the fairy tale characters have forgotten who they are and who they love and what makes them happy. She went on to say that her character, and I take it to apply all of the characters, Snow White is plagued with all the qualities the evil queen would want her to have. The insecurities, hopelessness, and negative characteristics. In other words, the storybook characters are in some ways polar opposites of their fairy tale alters. So if David is less than honorable and brave, we have Regina to thank. Mr. Gold may own the town, but I firmly believe that Regina controls it, and as much as she can of what happens in it, such as the disappearance of Catherine. And that is interesting, mm-hmm. that they're completely opposite from their counterpart. And
yeah, we kind of touched on that a little bit, I think, at one point in time, but we really glossed over it.
Well, and what I love is when you take the fairy tale character out of fairy tale land, the flaws
mm-hmm.
come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
true.
The reality and the humanness really comes out, because you know, I'm always amazed that, you know, they can shoot an arrow and, you know, hit something moving or whatever. And I'm just like blown away, and you go, it's a fairy tale. Jeff, it's a fairy tale. And yeah. I go, okay, yeah. But then let's move them into real life. And they don't hit everything. And they don't make good decisions sometimes. And they're not honorable. And they're not fearless.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
All that being said, I also realize that it's the job of the OUAT writers to make us want something, David and Mary together, and then make us wait for it. So far, they're doing an awesome job. One last thought on Emma and Mary Margaret, which I admit I don't know if you've ever addressed. So far, we see Emma more or less humoring Henry by going along with the Operation Cobra. But I'm sensing that somewhere in the back of her mind, she might be thinking, what if? We definitely see her reaching out to Mary Margaret, starting with taking her up on the offer of her spare room after Regina said her that not anyone is that worse, not having someone is the worst curse of all.
Yes.
And up to and including her staying with her after David broke her heart. If nothing else, we know that Emma cares about Mary Margaret. I'm just taking it further by imagining Emma thinking, what if this woman really is my mother? I just thought I would share these thoughts with you. And thank you very much, Lisa. Appreciate that. And yeah, I think, you know, it's if you start kind of looking at all the different people in Storybrooke, who's really happy?
Yeah.
And not many people are. You know, I mean, maybe there's a little laughter in the bar. But I mean, you know.
They're not unhappy. But they're not, like, overtly, openly,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, Ruby's smiling and laughing and joking around most of the time. Mm-hmm. Granny seems like she's okay, but, yeah, they don't have, you know, they don't have anything special, really.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep, let me get
just
a sip.
Saying. Okay. And I don't know if we said this, but Brenda's listening, too.
So, hello, Brenda. Hey, hey. Excellent, excellent. And I wish I had a list of everyone that was in the chat room. I can see the messages pop up, but sometimes when I read, I can't watch both.
Yeah. So,
unfortunately. We have an email from Sherry. Thank you, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
From Wisconsin. Excellent. We have a few folks from Wisconsin.
We do.
That listen.
All righty. I didn't realize we had a few.
Okay. Jeff and Colleen, I recently found your podcast. I've been working my way listening from the first podcast to the most recent one. I'm sad to be caught up. Frowny face. Well, I'll tell you what, there is an award for you somewhere if you have listened from the first to the newest one, because we have changed tremendously. And I think it's more kind of a very, for lack of a better term, an organic show.
Yes.
We just kind of are and do. And we're so humbled and thankful that people listen and continue to listen and continue to find us and knitters and all. And it's just, it's really cool. But yeah, so there's an award somewhere for you. So thank you.
Yes.
I love listening to you banter about the show. Plus, it's great getting other listeners' opinions and theories on the show. I appreciate all the time and dedication you take to make the show as great as it is. I'm sure there is a lot more involved than most of us realize. In a word, yes. But we do have help.
We do.
We have fantastic deputies help us out. Granny Red helps us out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so many others, really, that spread the word and all
Trista.
That. But Trista,
our
fantastic moderator extraordinaire mm-hmm. for the forum. Mm-hmm. That is a job in itself. And mm-hmm. I'm so, so thankful to Trista mm-hmm. for that, because that is not an easy thing.
No.
You know, spammers and this and that. Oh, my gosh. So thank you. Thank you to everyone who helps us out. And, Jose, cool. Welcome. Yes, sir. Yeah, I think we talked on Twitter, and he was asking about when the show is. I'm glad.
Oh, nice.
Glad you are listening. Fantastic.
Yay.
So,
It looks like Jennifer might be on, Guinevere 8.
Yeah, hi, Jennifer. Welcome, welcome. Fantastic. So yeah, there's a lot of work involved, but we're so happy to do it. And it's just really, really cool that it really just has always kind of fallen into play. So we have big plans involved in, mm-hmm. you know, in play, but it's really neat. So she continues, thanks again for all the hard work. Looking forward to your next podcast. And we thank you so much for the email. And mm-hmm. sorry for the throat clearing. Hi, Obie's girl. Hi, hi. We've got your email coming up. So thank you so much for that. And but this is, you know, a lot of folks really put a lot of pressure on the host of the show. And I think early on, I made a decision. I said, we're co-facilitators. We turn on the mic, we record what we say, but we include everybody. And so, you know, sometimes we'll say something that is not correct about maybe a fairy tale or mm-hmm. part of the show or something, and folks help us out. And that, I think, works, because if we knew everything, I've said it before, I'll say it again, no one would No one would care to send an email or call in a voicemail. But we need everybody. And I think that's what makes it fun is because we're fans too. And thus the name of the show. So, we love theories. We love all the emails. We love all the voicemails with folks calling in and letting us know what they think. Because, I mean, that's the greatest fun of this show. So this is a cool email from Test Guy, a.k.a. Centaur Rider on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I love your podcast and Once Upon a Time. I am listening to your podcast right now. He can multitask.
Except for, is it Tess Rider?
Yes.
Well, I think Tess Guy. I think it's...
Yes, Tess Guy.
I think it's the first name is Tess, which means it's a girl.
Okay.
That's what I think. Okay. I could be wrong. I'm just saying. You keep saying he.
Well, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry about that.
I just want to just clarify in case.
Well, we can't start over. The name is Tess Guy. We will just leave it at that.
Yes.
All right. I'm listening to your podcast right now and heard Jeff say he was from San Bernardino. I was born there too. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. And we have something in common. And if you're born at St. Bernardines, you were across the street from where they laid Randy Rhoads to rest. So that's about all I got. And then the hill has the Arrowhead on the side.
Yes.
The Arrowhead Springs Hotel.
Yes.
And San Bernardino. So just a fun shout out to San Bernardino. Sometimes we call it the 909. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, for those in Canada, they're going, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I'm a huge Lost fan and had some thoughts on a recurring theme throughout both shows. These are many times in both shows where children step into the more parental, mature role than their parents, where the child chooses the better path than their parents. In Lost, we see this especially with Jack and his father and Locke and his father. And Once Upon a Time, we see this with Henry and Regina. Henry and Emma, and Emma and Mary Margaret. Mm-hmm. Charming and King George, Jiminy and his parents, Ballfire and Rumple. I find it interesting that the younger generations are continually put in positions where they must choose to remain as their parents or strive to be something greater. This is not a new idea, though. This is not a new idea throughout traditional fairy tales, but it is one that I have been thinking about lately. I'd love to hear your thoughts and have fun at the Paley Center this weekend. Thanks for all you do, Tess Guy, and thank you for that. And we will.
Yes.
So
thank you,
parents and children. Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah,
that is very interesting, actually. So, and I do see the parallels. I definitely see the parallels.
And we know, friends, that the children make better decisions than the parents sometimes, maybe with money or that kind of a thing. And sometimes even the children kind of coach the parents through certain types of decisions. And it is very interesting that you know, maybe it's the internet or maybe it's whatever. But, you know, in the days before, it was always kind of the patriarch, you know, the grandfather maybe, who kind of knew more because he lived life more. But I think maybe with Google and all these different things, WebMD or whatever, that people now that maybe have more use of the internet and kind of can search more, possibly have more information. Maybe they watch news or listen to podcasts or something. But it is interesting that, you know, parents all the time say, my kid is smarter than me on the computer. And it happens over and over and over. You hear that. So it is interesting to kind of see. It definitely has nothing to do with Google, but that the children are making kind of better decisions than the parents in Once Upon a Time. So,
yeah,
but yeah, for sure. You know, it's the old kind of breaking away. I want to be different. You know, Prince Charming, just one situation, Prince Charming you know, telling King George, or just disobeying King George. Say, I'm not going to marry her. And I don't care if you find me. You're going to have to ride pretty hard, and you have to look pretty far to find me. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true.
So, it is, Lost did have a lot of really bad parents.
It really
so now I think a lot of people said it was basically daddy problems in Lost. So, but yeah, there's really not a lot of you don't see grandparents in Storybrooke. You don't see too much of that.
The grandparents
right now.
Well, right now, yeah.
So I mean, you got Granny, but
yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much. And a little bit of extra San Bernardino trivia. I don't know that I'll ever say it again. So, which is a little bit, tonight. So, yeah, Granny is the keeper of the Granny's Bed and Breakfast and the Granny's Diner.
Yes.
And tries to keep up with Ruby and her things. So, here is the next email from Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello, Heather.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I sent this to another Once podcast, and we do know that there are a few, so thank you for sending it to ours.
Yes.
Because they were discussing why David and Mary Margaret's kiss did not help them wake up or counteract the curse in any way. But I think you've discussed this as well at some point, so I thought you might find it interesting. I was curious about the kiss thing. And that is, it's a pretty popular topic. There's a lot of people that, you know, just was everybody kiss everybody else and all that. She continues, I was thinking it may have to do with they're not really being free to love each other in Storybrooke because of David's marriage. We're talking about David and Mary Margaret.
Yes.
That they knew deep down inside they had to hold back because of that. But I found this explanation from an interview with Edward Kitsis on E! Online. I think that when David and Mary Margaret kiss, it wasn't an aha moment for them because the curse hasn't been broken yet. And clearly, they're not the keys to breaking it. They're just the keys to making the Savior. So let's stop there for just a second. So this brings up an interesting point because it kind of goes back to, remember I was saying something, if you go back, it was the podcast around the Still Small Voice, and I said, I wonder what else is going to happen that's going to cause some other earthquake or something, and nothing else has really happened on that level.
So that's
this
true.
This is what I think. I think certain things do certain things, but it's not across the board. Okay, so
certain things.
Graham. Okay, so when Emma put on the sheriff badge,
yes,
the abandoned mine was revealed.
Yes.
Okay, so when Emma kissed Graham, then he saw his fairy tale past.
Yes.
Okay, so the thought is it's not just that action across the board; it's that action for that situation. So,
so everybody's going to have a different experience.
Right. So when Emma stayed in town and took the key, that was a physical action. That's when the clock started.
Right.
When she agreed to stay.
Yep.
And then when she
made the decision to stay.
Right. But it was a decision, but then there was an action too. And the action was actually taking the key, giving the money, and staying.
Okay.
Okay. So then you had the sheriff badge that opened the mine. So you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, Henry could put on the sheriff badge and nothing will happen.
Right. Because so, Henry doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So then there's the kiss. So I think in, you know, what he's alluding to is actually kind of what I'm seeing as well. And it fits is, and I think Tiffany's here in the chat room. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello.
So I think it's going to be different things as we kind of look through it. So I think what we need to look at is, what is the situation? What is affecting what, and what is actually happening? So I think it was interesting he used the term key, the key to unlock something or reverse something or fix something. So that's something to think about. So in watching the show, you have to kind of break it down and kind of watch it, I guess, like a football game and say, okay, what's the play? What's happening? And if it's the savior doing something, then that could mean something, you know, different than if Mary Margaret did it. So, because that's been a big question is, well, how come Mary Margaret and David haven't seen their fairy tale past? Well, that's not how it worked for them. And keep in mind, too, that just touching the wolf, Graham. So, I'll keep reading. There's more in this email. This also explains why Graham kissing Emma did work. As the savior, she is the key to breaking the curse. What I'm not sure of is how this will, or if it will, mesh with the whole true love's kiss can break any spell deal. Does Emma, as the key to breaking the curse, have to experience true love's kiss? If so, wasn't that what she was doing with Graham, since it started breaking the curse for him? Or did they need more time for their love to develop, for it to work on everyone? Okay. So, Patty's here. Hey, Patty.
Hey, Patty.
Welcome to the live show. Thank you so much for showing up. And so let's kind of, let's talk about this here. Is, do you think when Graham saw his fairy tale past that was breaking the curse, or was it him being who he, realizing who he was? You understand what I'm asking? Is when people realize who they are from the fairy tale past, is that breaking the curse, or is that building the army? I mean, you understand?
Yes. And that's my thing. I don't think it's, I think it's a part of breaking the curse. I don't think it's breaking the curse.
Right.
And I don't know that it, I mean, maybe it's breaking their curse, because where is Graham?
Right. Fair enough.
Okay. Graham is dead.
Right.
But the huntsman should still be alive in theory. Right.
Right.
So where is he? Do you know what I'm saying? If by breaking their curse in fairy in real world, or by figuring out who they are in real world, does that send them back to fairy tale world?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. And David from Michigan's here. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Thanks so much for being here. So you know, and it would be interesting to have a conversation with Belle or whatever her name is.
Oh.
In Storybrooke.
Yeah.
You know, does she know? Does she not know? You know, we've had some great theories here that have come in through emails and I think voicemails too, is that she does know. And that's why she's locked in this room.
Yeah, and that's so, what we think is possibly.
Yep. So I will continue to read. My guess is that maybe it could have been broken. Maybe it could have broken the spell on everyone or been a huge help in doing so, given some more time. But that would have been the easy route, and I agree. So that's partially why they had to kill Graham to take that easy option off the table. Now the Savior has to find another way to break the curse, and this way will surely be more difficult and perilous. And I think in a story setting, it's always the more difficult way. You know, it's kind of like life, right? If there are treasures on the other side of a mountain and you heard that the mountain is hard to climb, there are monsters there. It's people have died doing it before. And so you choose to not make that journey because you think, well, there's probably no treasure over there. So I pitch a little tent in front of the mountain. I'm just going to stay here. Or you say, nope, I'm going to climb this mountain. Well, you climb the mountain, you beat the monsters, you grow, you become stronger. And then when you get on the other side of the mountain, you get the treasure. And so, I mean, it's just like a story. Mm-hmm. So is it easier to not go or take the easy route? maybe around the mountain. You know, it might take longer, but, you know, so yeah, it's just, I love the whole parts of the story, you know, and Manny and I, you know, can Joseph Campbell out and we have a good time with that. But there are these really distinct parts of stories. And I think that it's worth kind of studying that kind of thing when you're watching shows like this. So, as always, thanks for a great podcast, Heather from Maryland. And thank you very much for that email.
Yes, thank you.
Kissing and cursing. Wow. That's kind of funny. All right.
You're silly.
So, this is from our good friend, Sarah.
Sarah.
And Kaylee Pete. It's Sarah.
Fanfic author.
Yes. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. It's Sarah, aka Kaylee. I finally managed to keep up with the podcast. So sorry for the coughs, folks.
Yeah, sorry.
Really sorry.
Still fighting this cough. It's driving me nuts.
Yep. So we're pretty sure we won't get you sick. So she says, I finally managed to catch up with the podcast. The episodes were all great. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
You guys are awesome. You've done an incredible job with this show. I've never followed a podcast before, but I'm really enjoying yours. That means a lot. That really does.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We like to. It's cool to be the first podcast for people.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just really cool. So thanks for that. She says, I'll listen to it in the car and when I'm walking around. And I've said before, it's just wild. You know, Steve Jobs, the genius of it, is taking things. I mean, we had Walkmans and everything, but I think it's cooler now because it's all digital and you can listen mm-hmm. to radio on your mm-hmm. iPhone. So that's really cool. I get some odd looks when I start laughing at something you guys have said. But I ignore them. So, yeah, I've done that too. I'll be listening and laughing, and then people look at me and, yep.
I do that at work too. Yep. Sometimes I listen back to the show just to make sure I don't say anything crazy. And, yeah, I start laughing at something, and people look at me like I'm nuts. So I feel you.
Hey, Manny. Manny's in the chat room too.
Hey, Manny.
What's up, man? What's up? I will continue. So, thanks for all the work you guys do putting this together. And a great big thank you to the deputies. Hey, thank you to the deputies.
Thanks, deputies.
We never, ever want to forget the deputies.
No, we don't.
For all the work they do as well.
Mm-hmm.
You rock. And they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, as always, big love to the deputies. And they're around somewhere.
Yes.
Doing some good. Taking care of trolls.
Yes.
Keeping Mr. Gold in line.
Oh, no.
Silly.
I'm all over Mr. Gold.
Wow. All right, then.
Keeping him in line.
You're getting out of hand over there.
I'm not.
So, the podcast has really helped form a wonderful community and friendships that I'm so happy and grateful to be a part of. Thank you. Thanks to you and all. Thank you for that. Not really a lot to say with no show the past week, but one thing that Natasha and I tweeted a bit about was Emma's superpower and how it doesn't seem like it's been working since she arrived in Storybrooke. I mean, Graham lied to her. Sydney's been lying to her. Regina has lied to her. So that begs a question, what gives if she's supposed to be a human lie detector? Then I began thinking, well, what happens when she's in a place where everything is a lie? That's a great point. When no one is really who they seem to be, even if they think they are, where only a handful of people know the truth. How can you tell a lie from the truth? Would her superpower work in such a place? Could it work? So I just thought that might be why she hasn't been able to tell when people are lying in Storybrooke, because they're all technically lying, even if they don't realize it. Anyway, just a thought. Keep on going. You guys are doing an awesome job. Thanks for all your hard work, Sarah. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's a great point, actually. I mean, at first when Emma told that to Henry, I thought she was just kind of pulling a mom trick. You know what
I mean? Well, yeah, because I used to do that to the kids when I would babysit them. I used to babysit a lot when I was growing up. And I would tell kids I could I knew things that there's no way I could ever know.
Right.
But it was because I could do that to get them to listen to me. So I don't know if that's what she was doing or not, or if she really does have some, you know, she really is some human lie detector. I don't know. I can't tell because with this show, anything's possible.
Well, okay. This is what I think. I think she does have a superpower of knowing when people lie. And I think even though she hasn't acted on it or called them on it, that she does know. And I think she's playing them. And I think one day we're going to get, now I'm really going out here, is I don't know if anyone's ever read Agatha Christie books. Hercule Poirot was my favorite sleuth. And I loved when the end, when he would begin to kind of uncover the mystery. And he would say, and you said you were this, but that's not true because you were over there and you did this and you did that and you did that. And I think that's maybe what is going to happen toward the end.
Yeah.
I also think it was interesting. And Sarah loves Agatha Christie too. Gang of Four was probably my favorite book. Anyway, so Sign of Four. And but I love the quote from August Booth when he says, I can't tell a lie.
I never tell a lie.
Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that was a lie. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just what's tough. And we've talked about the different types of people that watch the show. Some people take what is said verbatim and they take it as gospel.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to get to an email and two emails that we're going to talk about that, what is said and what is meant and how it could be meant.
Right.
So, so that's definitely a good point. If people aren't who they really are, then the whole thing is a lie. Storybrooke's a lie, you know, It's not to say that her superpower is a lie.
No,
but because again, everybody's lying.
Exactly, so. And so yeah. I mean, what do you do with that? If you have that, if she really does have a superpower that she can be, you know, a lie detector, and everybody is lying, either her powers don't work in Storybrooke, or she knows it and she's just hiding.
Well, even just the exchange between Mr. Gold and Regina in the cell, his first answer was very kind of, you know, weaved around.
Right.
You know, all the days in this, on this planet.
All the days I've walked on this earth.
Right. You know, and so, you know, as a lawyer, right, you would say, well, define this earth.
Yes. By, you know, this earth, what do you mean?
Right. You know, and then.
And that's why Regina said, what about your time spent elsewhere?
In other lands. Yeah. Elsewhere. So it is interesting to kind of to think about the answer and to kind of take it apart. So, you know, but yeah. Yep. Good point. So the next to the last email is from Disney loving new mom. Very nice.
Hello.
I just wanted to thank both of you for taking the time to make such a great podcast. I've listened to a lot of podcasts over the years, and this is one of the most fun, enjoyable ones I've come across. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
I recently had a baby. She's 7 weeks old. Aww. Congratulations.
Yes.
Little baby. And your show has been a godsend. You guys keep my mind busy. Hold on. I need to take a little sip here. My gosh. Okay. Your show. Sorry. Yeah. Live audio with a cold. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And your show has been a godsend. You guys keep my mind busy during the last agonizing weeks of pregnancy. Wow. And now the show makes me waking up several times in the night just a little less worrisome. knowing I have you two to keep me company.
Aww. Wow.
That is...
That's sweet.
That's really neat. Thanks.
It's really, really sweet.
Here I go again. I can't thank you enough. I'm also a Lost fan, and I listen to just about all the podcasts that were around. In fact, that's why I even began watching Once Upon a Time in the first place, because of the tie-in with Kitsis and Horowitz. I enjoy all of the tie-ins, and I love it when you bring Lost topics up in the podcast. Since Lost ended, I really have needed a new TV show to be my show. I totally get what you're saying there, too.
Yeah.
And I finally found it. I'm hoping Once has many seasons ahead to enjoy. I love that you're making a knitting section on the website. I haven't been able to check it out yet. I'm not on the computer much. I can understand why. In fact, I'm writing this email on my phone. I'm also a Ravelry member, as
oh, nice.
I taught myself to knit about a year and a half ago. That is cool. I agree with Colleen. I apologize if I've spelled your name incorrectly. You did great, by the way. Knitting is very therapeutic. I picked it up after the loss of our first baby. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
So it is very near and dear to my heart. And I love that you guys talk about it on the show, since it seems like it's a little talked about hobby. Keep it up, Colleen. Well, I don't really have any input on the TV show itself. I just wanted to you to know how much your podcast... I need a sub from my voice. Is appreciated. Looking forward to the new episode tomorrow. Disney loving new mom. Thank you so much for that email.
That is fantastic.
We really appreciate it. And wow,
yes,
thank you so much.
We do. Yeah. And congratulations on your baby. That's awesome. Babies are so sweet, especially that young. And I know you're probably not getting a lot of sleep right now. So glad that we can keep you company and what have you while you're up with the little one. So.
Oh, yeah. We have one more voice. We have one more email, and then we have a special voicemail to play. So if you're kind of getting sleepy, try and hang in there. We're not going to go
minutes.
Too long, but no. If you can't, I totally understand.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've got one more voicemail. I'm sorry, email. I'm going to read it from the screen. So this is from Obie's Girl.
Hey, Obie's Girl.
And thanks again, Obie's Girl. Hey, Jeff and Colleen, I promise the videos below are not scary, because she sent videos last time that were scary.
Uh-oh.
Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, dude.
Scary.
That was, wasn't that Pan's Labyrinth or something like that?
Yeah.
Dude, I heard that movie was very scary, and I can't watch that.
Yeah, not as scary as my first wedding's reception.
Oh.
Anyway, but I just wanted to point out.
And for those
scene,
that don't know, that wasn't me.
Right.
That was the other wife.
Yes, I married the right one the second time.
Yes, you did.
But I just wanted to point out the scene where the queen visits Rumpel during the end of Skin Deep. It is a bit similar to a scene from Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3, Star Wars, after Vader dons his familiar black suit. Skip ahead to around 252 when Vader asks Palpatine about Padme. So I've got that queued up here. So we're going to Star Wars geek out just a little bit. So here we go.
Lord Vader, can you hear me?
Yes, Master. Where is Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right?
It seems in your anger, you killed her.
I couldn't have. She was alive. I felt it.
Wow.
So I will pause that, because what happens after is the worst moment in any Star Wars movie ever. So,
oh, no. Is it really the worst?
Yeah.
It really, is the you're going to go. You're going to put that one before Yippee.
Well, yes, yes, I will. Okay. So anyway, that was the scene. Skip ahead to around 2:52. Obi's girl said, and when Vader asks Palpatine about Padme, Palpatine lies to Vader, telling him that in his anger he killed her. That isn't true, yet in the movie, since Padme dies later of a broken heart, Palpatine even has an evil grin just before Vader's ridiculous no. And you're all welcome. I did not play that no. So I'll go ahead and play the scene from Skin Deep when we have a very similar conversation. So here we go.
Flimsy locks. I have a deal to discuss. A certain mermaid.
I'm not dealing today.
Are you angry with me? What is it this time?
Your little deception failed. You'll never be more powerful than me. You can keep trying, dearie. You're never gonna beat me.
Oh. Is this about that girl I met on the road? What was her name? Margie? Verna.
Belle.
Right. Well, you can rest assured I had nothing to do with that tragedy.
What tragedy?
You don't know? Well, after she got home, her fiancé had gone missing. And after her stay here, her association with you. No one would want her, of course. Her father shunned her. Cut her off, shut her out.
So she needs a home.
He was cruel to her. He locked her in a tower and sent in clerics to cleanse her soul with scourges and flame. After a while, she threw herself off the tower. She died.
You're lying.
Am I?
We're done.
Wow. Great scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, the similarity is that the statement of died, you know, it's a lie to coerce people to feel a certain thing and to act a certain way. So, you know, it is interesting between the two scenes. I'll go ahead and read the rest of the email, but I kind of did at least want to focus on the two scenes. Okay, so we played the Vader scene, and then it says, now compare the scene from Revenge of the Sith with the scene from Skin Deep where the evil queen lies to Rumpel about Belle's death. Vader and Rumpel seem to easily accept blatant lies as truth. And I think because there's so much emotion involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both are cursed and must live with the burden of their power. But not only that, Rumpel didn't have to continue to be a slave to his dark power, but he shunned Belle and even told her that his power was more important to him than her, which we all know isn't true.
Right.
Can't wait to listen to the podcast. And yay, new once episode this Sunday. Obi's girl. And yes, that is true. So, but let's really look at that. Now, Rumpel can't be free of that dark power.
Because, he could have.
Well,
he could have if he'd let Belle kiss him.
Okay.
If he'd given over power, because he started to change. But he,
yeah.
The problem, I think, was is that he knew when she said it's working and she started talking about the curse.
Yeah.
She basically, he knew that it was Regina who told her that, because he didn't tell her that, and it wasn't common knowledge, right?
Well, true.
So he had to have known Regina was trying to become more powerful than him. That's why he said, you'll never be more powerful than me.
Right. And I guess, too, that if it was me, you know, I would have said, well, let's find out. Let's ride out, and we're going to search, and we're going to find this. We're going to find out. I'm going to go talk to her father. I'm going to whatever.
But would you, in your total absolute grief?
Well,
think about it. Think about it. He loved her so much,
right?
That he set her free. He let her go.
Yeah.
He pushed her out because he didn't want to keep her against her will. He didn't believe she could love him, and that's exactly what she said to him at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He let her go. He loved her that much that he was willing to be without her.
Yeah.
Right? So in his grief, he wasn't thinking straight. He was not thinking, I'm going to go talk to her dad.
Just, you know, the look on his face.
And the guilt.
The guilt and the look on his face when he came back with, well, she needs a home. And so.
He was hopeful at that point in time.
Yeah.
That's what he was hoping for her to say is, you know, can you take her in again? Will you take her back? Because he was going to, I'm sure, you know, act like he wasn't thrilled about it. But you know deep down he would have been thrilled to have had her back.
I do love Obi's girl kind of putting them together because I think it is very similar. However, I think we've seen other characters like Sherlock Holmes. And I don't know if it was from the original stories, but the young Sherlock Holmes, you know, had this pain of losing, you know, the one he loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of thing kind of drives you either for evil or for good. And, you know, everyone, I believe everyone has some type of life-changing thing, whether it's a trauma or whether it's a blessing or a good thing or a bad thing that kind of drives us toward our destiny or away from something or whatever. But there's always something, and it's interesting that in this just these two situations here in Star Wars and Once Upon a Time, you know, it was a loss of a love. So, yep. But yeah, very cool, very cool. You know, and I think, yep. So I think Star Wars Lost and Once Upon a Time are just great, great things to watch for a multi-layered story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fantastic. Okay. Before we cough ourselves and lose more people, we are going to play this incredible voicemail. So I'm going to check really quick and see how many people are still in the chat room. 28 listeners. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? I'm ready.
Hello, Oncers. It is Mig Macario. I played Bashful in Once Upon a Time. We were going to try and get the whole gang to leave a message again, but it's been so hard to get all of us together. So I am calling on behalf of the boys, especially Lee. He sends his love. Yes, please do watch. I know all of you guys will be, but tell all your friends. Let's make this the, you know, the best episode ever. And so you can enjoy some dwarf-orific love on March 4th. So before I sign off, I want to say some shout-outs to all of you Onester peeps. Firstly, to, of course, you, Jess, and Colleen, and the deputies. And then, of course, the Onester Angels, Fatty Tuna, Shay, Julianne, Mandy, Holly Mom, Jennifers, both Jennifers, Carla, Michelle D, our international Onesters, Aura Lee, Pamela in Australia, Laura Perea. What else? There's still more. Oh, Team Once Upon a Fan, who are amazing. Tyler, Michelle D, Rick Nichols, Kat Slay and her amazing art. Speaking of art, Mark Davis, aka White Dog, and Cheryl, my foodie friend in LA. And Shay, enjoy Paley Fest. Have a great time. I'm sure everyone there will be very entertaining and informative. And lastly, to Callie Q, Helga, EJ, and Max. Okay, enjoy the episode, you guys. Have a great podcast, and hopefully our next message will all be around to say hello. March 4th, 8 p.m. on ABC, 7 p.m. on CTV. Dwarf maliciousness. Yay, Wensers!
Wensers
rule!
Another reason I love this podcast. You know, I have no words.
I do. Mig rocks, man.
Yeah.
We've known that from day one, but that's amazing and
thank you, fantastic. Mig, big love back to you. We really, really appreciate it. And this is such a cool way to interact, you know, from the cast to the fans. And just so, so neat. These actors are really busy. They have much to do. And for, you know, any of them to take their time. To call into a podcast and leave a voicemail. It's just fantastic. So Mig really warms our heart, and you know, we love you here, and you heard the man.
Yes. And Twitter is a buzz with Mig's voicemail, so that's awesome. And hopefully he'll hear this and he'll know how much we love and appreciate him and all that he does for us and the interactions with fans.
Yeah. So you heard the man. It's tomorrow. Time to rally the troops. We have tomorrow to let people know about this show. I would imagine that we have people who listen to, you know, or maybe they liked fairy tales. Maybe this is a nice thing for a mother and daughter, mother and son, whoever, to father and son, the family, to get together and watch a show. You know, this would be the time to kind of, you know, ask people, say, listen, what are you doing at whatever time it's on in your time zone? It's really, really neat. So let's make this a huge night. You know, I know we're all going to be watching, but let's see if we can't, you know, kind of get it a little bigger. You know, Sunday is going to be Once Sunday with a Paley Center event, you know, Twitter is going to be crazy.
Yep.
And then the show is going to be insane. So, you know, again, just fantastic, you know, and the one thing I want to tell you is this is, you know, dreams do come true. Wishes come true, you know, and when you send out love, you get it back. That's the one thing I want to say. And there's so many different things that you can send out in these days today, but you know, we've proved it again and again. So we're so thankful to the cast. I know the cast listens. I know they do, and we send love to them, and we send a big love to Mig. He's just the best. Just the best.
I love his word, dwarfaliciousness. That's
great. And the most incredible thing, tomorrow is going to be One Sunday. We're going to have dwarfalicious fun. That's going to be awesome. Next week, from what I understand, it's going to be Ruby. So, you know, pass along a little message. Say we got love for, you know, Megan too, Ruby, Rose Red, Little Red Riding Hood, whoever you are, we got love for you. So I want to thank everyone for showing up and listening to this podcast. This has been and continues to be an amazing journey.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everybody, you know, Tiffany, Manny, oh my gosh, Marlene, I just keep naming names, Michelle, all the folks who have stayed up and listened to us and continues to support. what we do. We really, really thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I tell you what, you know, there's a lot of choices in life. And you know, I'm glad I chose this show to do a podcast for. Mm-hmm. I could have chose a lot of different shows, but I had a feeling about this one. And I think I was right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thank you for everybody showing up. Big love to you. Big love around the world. Big love to Mexico. Big love to Brazil. Big love to Canada. Big love to Bahrain. Big love all over the world. Wherever you are listening from, we have love for you. We send that out to you. So please take care. In the South, if you're in any of the areas where tornadoes and all that, please be safe.
Yes.
Take care. Okay. And we'll be checking in with you. And I don't know. We'll see. Oh, you're so welcome. Jose says, thanks, Jeff and Colleen. You made training for a half marathon a little bit easier. Oh,
good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
And good for you.
Yes, yes. And please send us some mojo to do that half marathon training. Thank you. So take care, guys. Have a great evening. One Sunday tomorrow, let's invite some folks to join us around the TV or computer or however they're going to be watching it. Let's all make this a big deal because the dwarves are coming to town. Mm-hmm. Team 7 Day. We've been waiting for this, and it's coming tomorrow. So I just cannot wait.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
So, thanks so much, everybody. And you guys have a great evening, and we will we'll be checking in with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And our first thoughts.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.